Radio Influence. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the first show back after we took an unexpected day off, Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans.
There it is.
It's me, Beans. I'm here with you today, Frank, on the podcast.
Getting it kicked off again.
Yeah. Everybody was, it was funny because people were like, did you do a show? And I did a website post on Uncover DC explaining that I didn't do, we didn't do a show on Monday. And so everybody that said that I know now is not subscribed to my email list.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. I don't know. I could if I ever take a day off, I make sure to make announcements at multiple points in the episodes leading up to the day off. And
we
still
told everybody. We told everyone we were recording.
Yeah.
But I have a funny story about what happened that I think people will appreciate. So I took off because I looked around my house and I was like, I have so much to do Monday and my house needs to be cleaned. It looks like a tornado came through because I don't have any time to do anything. So I was like, all right. So like, I don't know, I guess it was around 10 o'clock. My husband said, okay, do you want to move the bedroom around now? Because I've been begging him to switch up my room, like move the bed to the opposite side or whatever. So we ended up switching the room around and realized when we did that, that because of the way we were sleeping on our bed, we never realized that the bed was broken. And now we realized it was broken. So my husband lays down at night and he's like, the bed is broken. I'm like, the bed is not broken. What are you talking? He's like, it is. It's broken. Because we swapped it around. Like we flipped the mattress around to a different way. And he was complaining it was broken. And I was like, it's not broken. It's not broken. It was a big thing. And it turns out, sure enough, it is. It is
what,
broken.
The frame was or what?
No, the mattress itself. That's why I was like, it can't be broken. It is. It's broken. Now, we have a purple mattress. I'm telling you right now, people, if you've never had a purple mattress, it is like you lay in bed and you're an infomercial for the mattress. You lay down in this bed and you sigh a sigh of relief every night. We joke about it all the time because we're like an infomercial at night when we lay down. We're like, it's the most amazing mattress I've ever had in my entire life.
Yet it was broken.
It was broken and we never realized it because the way it works, like it's like these honeycomb looking material underneath. And I guess, I don't know, I guess we just never realized there was a big long strip of broken honeycomb material because we never laid over there. It's a big, big mattress. It's a king. So we never laid on that section. But anyway, long story short, the bed was broken. And who tells you a mattress is broken? I was like, yeah, okay, get some sleep. You need to sleep.
Yeah, well, I'm sleeping on the mattress tag. That's what I sleep on.
Lauren kicks you out of bed.
she's propped up at night by no less than 9 pillows now. And it's she has created such a nest, and we have a full size bed. And we're fine. I mean, that's usually enough. But because of how much propping and support she needs right now, I am literally sleeping on the mattress tag for months now. So that's maybe one day I'll get to roll over without falling off. But
I know that feeling. That's the worst. We had a full for a long time.
Yeah.
When I was pregnant too, we did have a full. It's hard. Well,
any day now, so.
Yes. You're going to get a call out of nowhere. People are fine with us having a little conversation before the show. There's no need to rush.
I'm not rushing.
All right.
I just don't. I don't want
to
bore anybody with my stuff. I want to hear about your stuff, but I hate listening to me.
All right. Well, fine. We'll stop then, and we'll talk about news. So there's a lot of stuff that is going on right now. I did with Sharon Black over at Uncover DC, we did a huge piece yesterday on this Dallas attack on Walkaway, which was really something. I don't know if you saw any of the video. Did you?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at Uncover DC and in the show notes today, you can find the article. It's called, I'll tell you the title when I find it. It's called Walkaway, #WalkawayDallasAttack, More Details Emerge. because when I started reading the story and I talked to Brandon, I was like, there's so much more to this story than meets the eye. So the guy who they had a walk away Save America rally in Dallas, Texas. There were several hundred people there. And this guy with a megaphone, his name is Dominique Alexander, attempted to get backstage and then onto the stage to disrupt the event, which is just from a security perspective, unacceptable. Like, you can't rush behind the stage and then try and jump up on the stage and expect to just be able to do that. Like, God only knows what these people's motives are. And not only that, but Brandon had been offering the Black Lives Matter activists that were in the crowd an opportunity to speak at his event and say what they wanted to say. And they all declined. They were like, we don't want to speak at your event. But they were heckling and interrupting the entire event. So he would have had an opportunity to get up there should he have just asked, right? So the security guard tries to get him off. He's kind of pushing him off. You know, you have to leave back here. You're not allowed to be here. Alexander takes the megaphone and shoves it into the security guard's neck. And then that's when the security guard pushed him down and the altercation ensued. So the police arrested the security guard. The police arrested the activist. They both went down to the station. The event went off without incident after that. Later on that day, they went back down to the police station to the walkaway people to inquire about what was going on with the security guard. And when they got there, there was a Next Generation Action Network, which is Dominique Alexander founded this group in Texas. It's supposedly a 501c3 organization called Next Generation Action Network. And he went down there, and those people with that group were at the police station demonstrating because he was in there, and they decided to assault, rob, and stalk and follow and harass the walkaway folks that had gone down to the police station to see what was going on with the security guard. So there was video released of this, of them like screaming obscenities and like homophobic slurs and chasing them down the street. But there was a journalist on site from Dallas News who had recorded the entire thing and just released snippets of it. Didn't release Brandon getting assaulted by a woman getting up in his face and screaming in his face, of course, with no mask on. But hey, you know, we're not the mask police. Didn't release anything really that happened. They had purposefully stepped on Brandon's shoe so that he would trip and fall. You know, you see him in one clip that was subsequently released, bending down to pick up a shoe and walk along. So when I started hearing about the fact that this activist had said, get in touch with Chief Hall, I know Chief Hall, I was like, why is he invoking the name of the police chief? Like, what's going on here? So we set off to research what's going on with these people. Well, what did we find? Dominique Alexander is the executive director at this place, this group, Next Generation Action Network. They filed for not-for-profit status in 2016. They were approved. They filed their little 990 postcard that year, but have not filed another 990 form since. The IRS website shows you all of this stuff. Okay. That's illegal. That's against the law, especially when you have GoFundMes up there that are raising $100,000, $910,000 for bail funds for activists in Texas. Okay, that's number one. Number two, he has a lengthy criminal record, like lengthy, including he went to prison for basically shaking a baby and causing a hemorrhage in the baby. He was babysitting his girlfriend's two-year-old. He called her and said, you got to get home here. She got home, looked at the child. The child was unresponsive. Rushed to the hospital. He said the kid fell off the couch, but the doctor said, no, this baby was shook. And so he went to jail for that. Then he had another altercation with his girlfriend later where he strangled her. She was also running for city council, by the way.
Oh, he got out of jail. Started strangling people again.
Yes, he got out of jail.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Assaulting his girlfriend, going after her children. I'm not sure if it was the same girl. I'm not sure. But she, you know, called the police and he said, who are you going to call? I'm in with the DA and the chief. Now, the chief at that point was a different person, but he was basically saying, you know, I know everybody. You're not going to get me. Right. And she, at the trial, decided, like, she wanted to stand up and, like, retract everything that she had, like, battered wife syndrome type deal. Like, oh, they're going about this the wrong way. He never threatened me, blah, blah, blah. But that, you know, that wasn't true. There's, you know, stealing cars, police chase, evasion, all kinds of stuff. As a matter of fact, I put it in here. Hold on. I could have sworn I did right at the in the bullet points, but I guess not. Not only that, but back in 2016,
yeah,
he was the activist that his group was the organization that organized that BLM protest that ended up in 11 officers shot and 5 dead in Dallas.
Oh, it pretty much looked like it was. There's some kind of military training on the side of the murderers too. Like, I remember watching footage of people creeping around and it was nuts watching that. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. So he was the one behind that event. And then I'm looking through his social media. He was at the mayor of Dallas's house at like 10 p.m. with a bullhorn, and they had sirens, and they were like screaming his name and just causing all kinds of problems outside on this residential street in the middle of the night. You know, like what we've seen all over the country. Then I start realizing, wait a second, he's sitting in Al Green's office right now in D.C. on the 23rd of August.
Al Green?
Yeah. There's pictures of him standing with Al Green, and who's a Texas Democrat, by the way. And I'm like, hold on a second. He spoke at the March on Washington that they did right after the convention, right? Mm-hmm. So he's there with a bunch of other activists. One of the other activist groups in Texas is called the Austin Justice Coalition. They were there in the meeting with Rep Green, and that not-for-profit, the Austin Justice Coalition, had its 501c3 status revoked in 2019, even though they're still claiming they're a 501c3 on their website. They have no status and they're collecting money as a charity. So that's number two of that. But worse than that, on the 29th of August, he has a video of himself at a D.C. evening protest where they were, you know, those D.C. protests during the time of the Republican National Convention were nasty. And there were activists from all over the country there for this little rally that they were doing the next day at the Washington Monument. And I'm just like, well, Brendan was attacked there, too. Now, I have no connection between the two, obviously, but it's just this guy tends to show up wherever there is trouble. And they're doing a press conference today at 11 o'clock outside the police station about this event because it's garnered them a lot of attention and none of it really positive. As a matter of fact, yesterday, one of their followers had put into a Facebook page, like they did a Facebook post, the follower who tagged Dominique Alexander. And in the photos they shared was a photo that was not from the walkaway event of a bunch of guys in black hoods carrying Confederate flags. So they're trying to like say that this was like some white supremacist event or something like that. But that photo was not taken at this event. So, and not only that, but the Dallas media is complicit. Now, the reporter that we called out, because I was like, they had told Brandon that he needed a subpoena to get the footage from what this guy had recorded, which is untrue. They could have released it very easily. So his name is Eric Alvarez. He's from WFAA in Dallas, which is I'm trying to find what it stands for, but I can't. Anyway, he's from WFAA, which is a news organization in Dallas. And we all tweeted at him, me, Dr. Carlin, who was on the show, and Brandon, mm-hmm. saying, release this damn footage. What the hell are you doing? Why are you trying to craft some narrative that these guys were not, you know, violently attacking us on our walk to the police station? By the way, no police would come. They called the police and they were like, you know, we're being attacked and assaulted right now. You send help? And they were like, yeah, whatever. Long story short, the guy finally released more footage because he was like, I don't know why these people are attacking me on Twitter. He basically got scared and he released more footage that shows more of what happened. It's not the whole thing, but it shows more of what happened. And then in a shocking turn of events, after we posted this story yesterday, which I don't think it had anything to do with it. It was just timing. The police chief Hall resigned from the Dallas police force yesterday.
Oh, there's a resignation in Dallas as well, huh?
Yep. a resignation.
I saw the resignation in Rochester.
Rochester, they're all, you know, Sharon is working on a piece right now of all of these high level law enforcement officials that are retiring or resigning because they're all over the country in these cities where this stuff is happening. And she had come under fire because previously during the George Floyd protests and stuff, her officers arrested 597 people for blocking a bridge. And the community was like, oh, this is what we're talking about. You know, the Austin Justice League or whatever their name is.
This is what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should be able to peacefully block a bridge.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And this police chief was very firm with protesters that were actually, I should call them criminals, that were breaking the law and causing all kinds of problems in Dallas. And she took ridiculous amounts of pressure from the activist community there. And I'm sure that she was just fed up with it and decided to resign. As a matter of fact, that's why it was confirmed by Fox News this morning that that's why she had decided to resign. So in the midst of all of this, you know, the Austin Foundation that's affiliated or attached or connected to this guy's Next Generation Action Network. And this guy, Dominique Alexander, calls himself a minister. And there's a very weird connection to this other like Baptist minister who was helping him to organize the 2016 protests. It's very weird. There's something very strange here. I'm not done with this. It's just, it's not a normal, like, full disclosure, as everyone knows, I sit on the board of Walkaway. So there is a disclaimer in this article that lets everybody know the conflict, like, you know, what the potential conflict of interest could be, that I sit on the board of Walkaway and Sharon was a volunteer and then worked for the organization as a senior director for a few years. That has to be out there in the open for people to understand. However, I have not covered many of the other attacks on Walkaway. This one in particular really stinks to high heaven. It really does.
And if it's not for people like you and your staff at Uncover DC, it's hit or miss that any of this stuff goes down at all. Well, and any of this spotlight is shown at all.
It's true. And even in independent media, they focus only on the attack and they tend not to do more of the background work into who these people are and who they're connected to and stuff. But the Austin Justice League that met with Al Green, their website, when you go to it, there's a huge, the first thing you're greeted with is a screenshot that says, imagine the world without police. And then there's a click, you can click on defund Austin PD, APD. So this is the types of people we're dealing with here. And they're in with congressmen and Democrat congresspeople. And, you know, they try to infiltrate the police staff and it's insidious. It really is. Brandon will be on Tucker this evening, I believe, to talk about the event.
And boy, Tucker is pulling the weight of the entire network.
Hell yeah.
Tucker Carlson is the entire network. There's nothing worthy of watching outside of him.
No, there isn't. And even Hannity is just like the same thing over and over again. Like, I can't. I love him. I think he's a great guy. I think he's a good person. He's done amazing charitable work that nobody knows about. You know what I mean? Like, but I'm not getting anything new on Hannity anymore, like at all. And Tucker's really trailblazing, especially on the culture side of things, I think. And, you know, his show last night was incredible.
I can't wait for the day that he leaves and starts his own project. He's viable like that. He needs to do something.
Yeah. He has Daily Caller. He started that.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. He started the Daily Caller News Foundation. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Which I'm not going to say it. I don't know for sure. But anyway, long story short, this is what happened. Now, in closing on this story, Saturday, which is 9/12, if you're in the Southeast anywhere that you can make a trip, I'm going to be, and the exact location will be released later, but on Saturday, I will be speaking at a Save America rally in Charleston, South Carolina. If you guys want to make it out there, just go to the walkawaycampaign.com website and you'll see details as soon as we post them for where it is. And then in October, again, the first weekend in October, we're doing the DC March on Washington on Silent Majority March. And there's a woman's town hall on Friday night with Lara Trump and Shamika Michelle, Diamond and Silk, and Katie Hopkins, which is going to be fantastic. And then Saturday is the March and Rally. And Vernon Jones will be there. I'll be there. Dan Crenshaw will be there. There's a bunch of other speakers that are going to be announced in the next couple days. The security for that event is tight. So if anybody thinks that this is going to be some sort of a massacre of peaceful Trump and Republicans and patriots, they have another thing coming. I'm just putting it out there for anyone who might be listening and worried. Don't be. Mm. It's in very capable hands. Very capable hands. And you know who you are. So there's that. And then in October, the week after, is the AmpFest 2020 event, which is going to be awesome. And I will be their official correspondent again this year. So,
well, you're going to be making the rounds.
Yeah, very busy. And then I have a very, 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 very special surprise that I we're just finishing up the details on that's really going to blow people away for November. So get ready. Just count the seconds until we can release it.
Oh, I'm counting the seconds until November, all right.
I'm very like motor mouthy today, Frank.
Good. Get it all out.
You know what it is? I had my coffee late. So
I've been having my coffee early the last 2 days. I said I need to start some new routines, and the last two nights I've been setting my my coffee maker timer for brewing at 8 a.m. So it's already ready at 8 a.m.
That's great. That's great. I had my coffee at 7:30.
That's late for you?
Yeah.
No way. Not with how late I go to bed. I get up in time to start moving at 8 now.
We talk late at night. I'm up all the time. Nearly every time we're all having our little conversation, I'm there. I really need to get more sleep.
I don't remember talking. I don't remember the last time that I've spoken to you past 11:30 p.m. I mean, I've seen you tweet past 11:30 p.m., but you know, I'm talking 1:32 in the morning.
Yeah, I'm not usually up at 1:30. I'm usually asleep by 12:30 the latest.
Yeah, I read until my eyes go crossed and I get nauseous and then I go to sleep.
That'll, you know, it's funny because by the end of the day, my eyes are broken too.
Yeah.
Broken. Like I see double. I'm like, whoa, yeah. I've been reading too much today.
That's when I know I have to go to sleep, when I get that first wave of nausea. I said, all right. Yeah, seriously, that's what I get. I get a wave of nausea. And I said, all right, time to go to bed. That's that. But yes. Yes, indeed.
Well, we've got other stuff going on as well.
Like what?
A couple things on the Spygate front. People are just tired of hearing about this. They don't believe there will be any arrests or any accountability. And they every time I tweet about any new development, they just yell at me. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop tweeting about it because it's news. So whatever. But I have a clip from Mark Meadows. I don't know if you heard this yet. Have you?
What?
Mark Meadows talking to Maria Bartiromo about what he has seen. Peter Strzok came out with his book, right? And he's been making the rounds on the talk circuit, lying through his teeth about everything. I mean, you can't get more narcissistic than this guy. He's absolutely horrible. I mean, everything he says is a lie. And it's provably, demonstrably so. We have documents now. So he's just gaslighting the entire public, whoever's left that watches CNN and MSNBC. But Mark Meadows was on Maria Bartiromo the other day. It's a little bit of a longer clip, but I think it's important that we listen to it. So I have made it myself so that I don't have to worry about any problems. And here we go.
Indictments. Where are we on this? Do we know anything about John Durham and this criminal investigation and where this goes?
Well, Maria, you've covered this for a lot longer than anybody else, and probably are better informed than anybody that I know in terms of this particular issue. And we are still waiting on John Durham in terms of any visibility and in the timeline. I don't have that. I can tell you additional documents that I've been able to review say that a number of the players, the Peter Strzoks, the Andy McCabes, the James Comeys, and even others in the administration previously are in real trouble because of their willingness to participate in an unlawful act. And I use the word unlawful. At best, it broke all kinds of protocols. And at worst, people should go to jail, as I've mentioned previously.
Well, you say you saw documents. Will those documents be declassified? We just saw Peter Strzok on 60 Minutes last night, Mark, and he's coming up with all reasons that they should have launched an investigation into Trump. These documents that you refer to, are they going to be declassified soon?
Well, the president has encouraged not only declassification, but full transparency. He has nothing to hide. I can tell you it's real easy for Peter Strzok to go on 60 Minutes when he doesn't have to raise his right hand and tell the truth. And all of his interview is, I can tell you this, it's not backed up by the facts. It's not backed up by documents that I've seen. And ultimately, his house of cards will come falling down.
Well, you know, you make a good point. They don't have to be under oath. The same with a guy like Adam Schiff. He doesn't have to be under oath to go on NBC News and say there's collusion in plain sight. And he's a sitting elected official.
Yeah, well, Adam Schiff has a very loose association with the truth when it comes to this particular president. He continues to put out narratives and half-truths over and over again when he, of all people, should know the facts. When you really look at the documents, he's had the same access to many documents that Republican members of Congress have had. And as you look in it, you can't look at those documents and say, oh, this is the way that everybody should be treated. In fact, they treat.
That's basically it.
Oh, documents, documents, documents.
Now, look, it's Mark Meadows. He's former Congress chief of staff for the president. You know, he's a very measured guy. He's not going to go on, Bartiromo and say that stuff for no reason. You know what I mean? Like, there's no. Everybody is so frustrated. It's like almost hard to talk about this anymore because. I just published a piece yesterday from Stu, who was at Stu and SD on Twitter. And it says, the title is, What is John Durham Thinking? Goes into a little history about John Durham and gives us three doors that could be possible. Door number one is basically he's doing everything that a really upstanding prosecutor should do, following the evidence where it could lead, building cases for prosecution, blah, 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 blah. Door number two is maybe he's just like Mueller and Comey, who have been fixers. His history just does not lend itself there. Door number three is the door that Stu thinks it is. AG Barr was appalled by the Obama-era election meddling evidence and more uncovered by Durham and has directed that no quarter be given to anyone who violated a federal statute. That some of the same people involved in the 2016 meddling are doing so again in 2020 on behalf of Joe Biden is equally appalling, and he wants all of the 2016 evidence on the table before the country chooses on November 3rd. That means Durham has been diligently pursuing indictments through several standing grand juries, that I can confirm from what I've been told. Several contacts with longstanding DOJ and law enforcement ties are adamant that there are sealed indictments already in hand, with Susan Rice's name being one at the top of the list. These contacts have consistently maintained for months now there will be indictments shortly after Labor Day, with the latest report indicating the end of this week. As of late, the Democrats have been caterwauling about any Durham indictments in September and October, violating a supposed DOJ policy not to interfere within 2 months of an election. But Andrew McCarthy has thoroughly debunked that mythical policy here. That means they know something big is coming. I've maintained this the entire time from the people that I have gotten to know and talk to. There is going to be accountability for all of this. The timeline that Stu has in here is exactly the same timeline that people have given me. Things got screwed up because of COVID, which Barr has admitted. He has never lied to us yet, Barr, and I don't think he has any intention of starting. And so he said that the Kleinsmith thing was not a earth-shattering development, but it would show that the investigation was progressing and there would be several more significant developments before the election. That's
okay. Well,
I never ever believe that something that things are not happening at all. I guess that even people who are, you know, there are some people who have given up altogether, but even those holding on, I'm sure there's those that are think that the sky's the limit still, and others that think that this may just be a shallow impact. And but the way that the president spoke during that press conference on Labor Day was he's getting more and more brazen about just being very out front of it. At this point, for him to come out and say over and over again, they spied on my campaign. And it was President Obama and Vice President Biden. They spied on my campaign. I mean, that needs to be. He said it so many times now in no uncertain terms. There better be something that is definitive in proving what he's been saying coming on out.
He always says right after, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Because
no, we'll see what happens. And I hope we see what happens. I mean, we know anybody with eyes to see and actually wants to get down to the unbiased truth of the matter. There's plenty there to show and to show what was happening and who was in on it and why and the timing. And it's so transparent at this point of a plot. But this has got to be stone solid.
It has to be. It has to be.
You can't say things like this and not know that there's going to be something that comes back around for the 1-2 punch.
So there was more that came out yesterday too about Alexander Vindman. You know Vindman.
Oh yeah.
Molly Hemingway wrote a piece about a new book that Byron York is coming out. It's called Obsession: Inside Washington Establishment's Never-Ending War on Trump. It's about the impeachment. Do you remember when we were floating around the quote theories about Vindman wanting to alter that transcript so that it would say what he wanted, and that's why they hid the transcript away?
I'm fuzzy on that at this point.
So we had talked about this on the podcast a lot, and I went out on a limb and went with something that I had heard rumblings about from folks, and I knew from my own research was probably 99.9% possible, and I went with it, and it turns out that I was right. We talked about how they made such a fuss when President Trump released the transcript after they had lied about it all those times. So they did the whistleblower complaint. They lied about the transcript and what was said on the call, remember? And then President Trump released the transcript. If anything is going to give you guys out there and you, Frank, a sigh of relief and some, I don't know, reassurance that there are good guys doing the right thing, this is going to be it. Vindman was responsible for that transcript. Byron York reports in his book that it was actually Vindman driving the entire impeachment. This is something I'm going to tell you what I said in a second, but Byron York says that from extensive interviews with people, Vindman heard the conversation, didn't like what was going on with Ukraine policy because his twin brother's at the NSC and they're all unelected bureaucrats trying to steer the world. And President Trump's foreign policy was not on par with that. So he went to his brother in the NSC. His brother went to an attorney at the NSC, and then they got someone else, the third party, which is probably the Eric that they were trying to protect, to fill out the whistleblower complaint based on the quote transcript of the call, right? When they went back to the transcript to make sure it jived with the complaint, they couldn't get access to the transcript anymore.
Yeah.
Remember?
It's very vaguely. I don't know why this is so fuzzy because we talked about it so much.
They moved the transcript to a secure computer where nobody could have access to it except certain people with clearance.
Oh, wait a second. Did this have anything to do with the accusations that the moving of the transcript to a secure server was somehow a plot by Trump?
Yep.
To make sure that nobody could get a look at this?
Yes. And when he released the transcript, if you remember, in the public eye, it blew up the entire narrative. Vindman was going to edit that transcript. He said it in the impeachment hearings that he wanted to go back in, and he couldn't get there because it was hiding and he couldn't have access to it. They knew. I'm telling you, they knew. There were good guys on the inside that knew that Vindman was up to no good and what they were trying to accomplish, knew the entire plot, soup to nuts, moved the transcript data to that secure location where he couldn't get it, and then released the transcript before he could change it to match what they had said to the whistleblower. Those things probably happened in less than 12 hours of one another. I almost want to go back and try and find the show where we talked about this, and I was like adamant about it. And I was like, I know, I did it a couple times. I was like, I know that, you know, this might sound crazy, but here's what I think. And I hammered the transcript home. Now we have proof of it. It was Vindman the entire time. This guy deserves to be in a military prison right now. And if you go to his Twitter account, you'll throw up in your mouth. This little weasel who could barely even testify without stuttering all over himself.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
And
I just, this is a lot.
Remember Hickman?
A lot of little weasels out there.
Yeah.
Who?
Hickman. Lieutenant Colonel Hickman, who came out and said he served with Vindman overseas, and Vindman was not a friend of the United States, and he came out and spoke out against him and was, like, summarily stalked and attacked by people.
Why did I think that was Rich Higgins that came out? About overhearing and reprimanding him for talking badly about American culture?
No, that was Hickman.
That was Hickman.
Yeah, that was Hickman. And he actually ended up writing a statement for me to release on his behalf because he didn't want the attention anymore. He's a disabled veteran and he was getting stalked by the media and all kinds of stuff for saying what he said. And listen, this guy should not be. There's never any accountability.
No, there's not. No, there's not. I did a long piece last night. There was that article by Michael Anton, The Coming Coup.
Yes. Yes.
Now it was a good review because the last couple of weeks I've just been compiling all the ways that they've been telegraphing what's coming with the election and how it's going to be covered, how it's going to be contested, and not only that, but the think tanks, these supposedly bipartisan groups of neocons and neoliberals, and that have been putting their minds together to plant the seeds at what we're about to see in November is going to be A, normal, B, necessary, and C, in the hands of very capable, honest people who are just acting as stewards of a democracy they just love so much. And it's amazing how in your face it is. And go ahead.
They're blatantly telling us what they're going to do, and it has to do with armed conflict.
Oh, yeah. No, the color revolution aspect of the whole thing, that whole facet of the story, that's tremendous because that's another thing we've been talking about a lot. Everything that we have seen playing out overseas, thousands of miles away from the initial launch of Operation Gladio after World War II into every other theater of war that we had copied and pasted that kind of operation, whether it be Vietnam, the Middle East, Africa, or South America, whatever it is, it's finally home. It's finally here. And we have, there's no more distractions because the whole point is to bring everybody in on the chaos. And I'm just happy that, as I said last night, I'm just happy that the one thing we have going for us is that our union of 50 states is a lot harder to overcome for the George Soros types, the philanthropist types out there. Because if you think about it, even just a state like New York, New York is only, I believe, 1.5 times bigger than Syria, or the other way around. It's about the same size as Syria. And you see what has been done to Syria. If they wanted to overthrow individual states, very easy to do. But we're strung together, and it's a lot harder to be able to affect a plan that is going to translate into an electoral win across a country the size of a subcontinent. So that's why we have this very, very compromised media, along with compromised and completely infiltrated cultural institutions like sports and Hollywood, and you have awful, awful educational institutions that are teaching scams like the 1619 Project narrative. And so that's what we're looking at here. And that's really how they're trying to deliver the entire scam. I think 90% of this coup that they are certainly trying to bring into effect here, 90% of the coup is the projection aspect in the media. That's 90% of it.
Mm-hmm.
10% is just trying to execute whatever kind of election month, because that's what they're turning it into, election month hysteria with the mail-in votes. That's just 10%. 90% is the 8 months of projection that we have gotten so far.
If you are going to vote, which you better be voting on for the president in November 3rd and even your state elections and your local elections, if you have the ability to go to the polls and vote in person on election day, do it. Don't be one of those people that says, oh, early voting is great. Don't early vote. Why would you hand them the information that they need to know how many votes they need to try to make up a difference, especially in Florida, of all the states in the world? Not only that, if you can't vote in person and you need to do absentee ballots, which many states are doing, you can deliver your absentee ballot as close to election day, I believe, as you want. In a lot of states, it could be on election day that you bring your absentee ballot to the location if you're doing it for some other reason other than you won't physically be there, right?
Yeah.
And mail-in voting, anybody that understands how things work that sends in a mail-in vote is just giving their vote away at this point. Anybody that can get their butts to the polls on election day needs to do it. They will not be able to overcome a complete onslaught of in-person voting on election day. I'm telling you, they will not be able to do it. In every race this year, there is going to be a team of lawyers on every side observing the process. They cannot get away with 110% of a precinct voting. They're going to be between a rock and a hard place. Whatever ends up happening, Frank, we are going to see absolute and total chaos after election day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I would also say that as proud as you are, or you may be, of who you're going to vote for, especially if you're going to go out to polling station number one, find out where your polling station is, because they're eliminating them all mm-hmm. over the country.
Mm-hmm. They're combining them. Yeah.
My friend from San Diego got back to me, said he confirmed they've gotten rid of it, and the GOP is not even challenging it anymore. They're concentrating on getting attention to their campaigns. So they're just not fighting it anymore, especially in states like California, where there is no real opposition party to anything.
Well,
but you have to go on out there and please don't go with your Trump 2020 nonsense.
You can't wear
shirts.
It. You're not allowed.
Don't do it.
You're not allowed to.
Don't make any call, any attention to what you're doing. Just vote. Because think of Tulsa, all right? If they're getting rid, if some states and some counties and some areas, some cities are getting rid of up to 80 or 90% of their polling stations and trying to bottleneck you into four or five, think about how just a few rowdy, violent, in-your-face protesters in Tulsa, Oklahoma were able to disrupt the attendance at an already small Trump rally. Just think about that. Think about the Hillary Clinton talks a lot about how we need our own people at polling stations because Trump voters might show up to intimidate, when we know there's no intimidation coming from Trump voters. So just think about that too. Don't call any attention to yourself and just be stoic as you stand online and do what you got to do, because now that there's a lot less places where people can go and vote, there's a lot easier for intimidation tactics to be employed at these stations. So think about that.
Yeah, people just need to, you know, put on their big girl and boy pants and get out and do your civic duty. The country really needs you. None of this, I'm afraid, I'm scared, what happens if? Go. That's what they want. Can you imagine if on election day they're attacking people online, how that's going to end up for them? Horrible. We're at a fever pitch. It's getting serious. It is serious. There's something horribly, you know, ridiculous going on in this country right now. I don't think there's any denying it. But at the end of the day, there. Did you see the Winston-Salem rally for Trump last night?
Yeah,
I
did.
The overflow crowd was like bigger than the rally itself.
There's no telling. And there's no disputing what we're seeing as far as the optics of the thing. Yeah, we're still going to get the polls as we always do, but even those are thinning out.
Yeah,
even those are thinning out. Even they are not giving us 98% chances of Biden winning, like we got with Hillary. And Biden has less. He has so much less support than Hillary does in her campaign events, and her ground game was a doldrum
There was nothing going on there. And Joe Biden is just, this is just a sad thing. That's why I think it's an interesting that one of his old, assistants or what do they call it? Stenographers. I don't know. I think that's what they said. One of his old stenographers or something, people who were around him during his time as VP and elsewhere, they've come out and said, no, this is not the same Joe Biden. There's certainly a cognitive decline. His ability to speak and deliver a speech like he used to be able to is not the same. I'm just waiting. I wonder if that's the tipping point where, day now.
People are pointing out that he has like an IV mark on his hand.
I saw that, yeah.
This is the thing, Frank. They're not going to be able to switch him out as a candidate because the ballots are printed already.
They can't do everything. Think about all the things they can't or should not do that they're doing.
Reprint all those ballots. They can't. It's impossible. He's the candidate.
Well, he's the candidate for the party.
Yeah, they're not going to take him off the ballot is what I'm saying, even if he comes down with COVID.
Well, maybe his name stays on, but you just let everybody know, well, you vote Democrat.
Illegal.
They don't care. Maybe he stays
on. I'm just not going with you on that one. I'm just not doing it. I'm not doing it.
I don't even think it matters, to be honest.
No, because everybody knows he's not going to be the president. Even he's going to be the president in name only if he's going to be a pino.
Yeah. I'm a pino.
He's going to be a pino. And, you know, sports is being destroyed as we're watching, and movies and music are being destroyed as we're watching, and the polls are like out of Florida, it was something like 60% of this or 70% of Hispanics are voting for Trump, and he only had like 13% in 2016. You could see it everywhere. Joe Biden can't even get reporters to come cover a fake Labor Day event when he's sitting outside in some grassy knoll at a picnic table.
What was that?
It was horrible. The optics of it were just horrible. What are they even doing?
I don't know. Look, he's out there. He's having the good conversations and he's being responsibly distant as well. Look at him with the flies, batting away flies from their heads with the masks on outside in the sunshine. It is so ridiculous. It's late summer. It's summertime and he's outside in the sunshine, sun beating down on everyone, and he's in a small semicircle of idiots, everybody with a mask on. This is the worst Broadway production I have ever seen, and I've seen many.
Just look at the convention. It was like a horrible, like, I mean, my kids' school do better Zooms than this.
But I did see the Hispanic vote thing in Florida. I also saw that as a compliment to that. They said that Trump's approval with the elderly had dipped.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I don't know. They said,
the nursing home vote they're counting on. Is that what they're out against now?
I don't know what it was, but a couple of people who had reported on the spike in Hispanic support in Florida tried to level it out by saying transversely, there's a dip in elderly. I wonder how many elderly people are being polled. I still have yet to be polled in my life once.
They're not. I've never been polled. A lot of people have never been polled. But that article that you're talking about really went viral because it was really well done. It's one of those articles that I was like, damn it, I wish we had that article. Because it's something that we would publish in a heartbeat. And the Dan Bongino did a whole big segment on it yesterday. They're literally like telling you what they're doing war game strategies for what happens if Biden doesn't concede and how they'll steal it. And the military will step in and help. And, you know, there's all, but people are so discounting the actual American patriot in all of this. Like, people hear these scenarios where the military is going to step in and, remove the president, but they're discounting the actual American patriots in the military. They're not all swamp rat, disgusting swamp creatures. There are American patriots in our military and in position. Look, General Flynn was a 3-star general. just stop discounting all the good guys.
Well, this is why they printed the Atlantic article.
Yeah. Yep.
This is why they printed the Atlantic article. They wanted to try to drive that wedge between Trump and one of his most fervent pillars of support, which is the military and law enforcement. They're dying in all these areas.
Well,
and I don't know. I saw that Dan Bong. I didn't listen to it, but I saw that Dan Bongino's title mirrored the title of the article from Michael Anton. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the war games that are being played. The big thing about this is, if you want to see how they really care about, oh, there's a contentious election coming along and we need to be ready for everything. Bullshit. Because what are they? Because everything, every scenario that they are game planning for, it is preordained that Trump is losing. It's preordained that Trump is losing.
Yeah.
And there's also these amazing little oxymoronic situations going on where the military needs to be ready to come on in if Donald Trump believes that he did win and he's being rooked out of the election and doesn't want to leave the White House. But on the other hand, every scenario requires Joe Biden to never concede that he loses.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's oxymoronic. And when you're of sound mind enough to see that how one sided this is, even if you are anti-Trump and you don't like the guy, can't you see, okay, well, obviously this scam benefits me and it makes me feel good, but it's still a scam. You understand that you have signed up to legitimize and rationalize a very pointed scam, and then ask yourself again, it doesn't benefit me, this scam, even though it might feel good to watch some people who like Trump get upset that he gets pulled out of office. But it's a 4-year term, and it's the last term that he could serve. What the hell did the last 4 years really cost you? It really did. Anybody's, oh, cost me. No, bullshit. It didn't cost you anything.
Mean everyday Americans?
Everyday Americans. It didn't cost people anything. If it costs them sleep at night, it's because of the people that you listen to. Mm-hmm. If it costs you emotional distress, it's your own fault. Because objectively, economically, no new wars, all this, objectively, nothing bad happened to us.
Literally nothing. We've done nothing but increase in we've done so much good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's people who say, I of course, that have been sold this lie that Trump is literally a murderer because of COVID. But once again, it shows your very shallow allegiance to the truth. I don't know.
Here's the thing. This is where we're at. I just wanted to pivot to this. Last night, late at night, Frank, The Hill released an article, right? I don't know what they're doing, thinking they're going back to this and it's going to work. But the title of the article was just in. This is their tweet. Trump supporters gathered without masks in North Carolina, despite request from local GOP official. Right. And they use a photo of Donald Trump on the stage pointing out the crowd. There's the crowd behind him holding their flags and their signs. And you zoom in on the picture and every single one of them has a mask on. So their headline, gathered without masks, and the picture completely contradict each other. Everybody jumped on and even the left was like, guys, you know, you could have chosen another picture to try and make this point. The picture you chose has everybody wearing a mask. Like, they don't even care anymore. They're so lazy. They're not even trying to fool people anymore.
Yeah, I watched that before I saw The Hill publish that article. I was watching a little bit of that speech. And I noticed, I said, oh, okay, well, there's everybody behind him wearing a mask and the MAGA masks, big red masks. I noticed it. And then, of course, I saw at the end of the day, in the evening when I got home from the studio, I saw the Hill article that everybody was jumping on. I said, oh, my God. And to think that they used to have people writing there like David Webb and John Solomon.
Yeah.
All of John Solomon's, you know, really groundbreaking pieces was published at The Hill.
A bureau chief there.
I know.
He was very high up. He was like a senior VP at The Hill.
it's a trash pile, just like everything else.
It is. And then, you know, it is. The last story that I wanted to talk to you about today, or at least attempt to, it's actually double. We have 5 minutes. One headline, New York Post. Scientists can't explain puzzling lack of coronavirus outbreaks in Africa.
Have they been testing all of the local crop of papaya fruit? They haven't been testing enough papaya then, because there's plenty of coronavirus everywhere.
You know what the problem is, Frank? What's a disease that's very prevalent in Africa?
Malaria.
What's the drug that people take to prevent malaria?
Hydroxychloroquine.
No!
Or maybe the fact that it's very hot in Africa and very sunny, and everything else we've learned about the survival rate of this virus itself, outside of the survival rate of the actual virus, not just the survival rate of those who contract it.
631 infections in Africa, fewer than 15,000 deaths.
Oh boy.
Now, that moves us over to vaccine land for a minute here, okay? Vaccine land, where President Trump has gone on this tirade promoting vaccinations after he had hired Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to sit on his commission back in the day. Well, this doesn't jive. The crowd doesn't like hearing President Trump talk about vaccines either. What is it causing everyone to do?
I bet you any money they're going to become anti-vaxxers.
Oh, wait a second. You mean they're going to start researching what's in these vaccines and learn how toxic and poisonous they are?
I'm sure.
Donald Trump said they were good. He's learned that anything he says is good is pushed back. And anybody who's under the spell of the left is going to hate vaccines because Trump said so, and start to poke into why they hate vaccines so much.
You know what Donald Trump should do tomorrow? He should get in front of a press corps and talk about how sex work and prostitution is very empowering for women. maybe that'll.
These people are so stupid. So I mean, there was an adverse reaction that caused the entire vaccine study to stop yesterday. Hold on. I'm going to find it. I had it last night. I wasn't expecting to go here yet, but I also wanted to talk about Michael Cohen, but here it is. It was the, they blocked me. I retweeted a tweet in a thread and the person blocked me. Well, that's nonsense. Why? All I said was, raise your hand if you'd be a participant in a phase 3 trial for the rushed COVID vaccine.
And who did you retweet?
Her name is at Alicia Smith 19. Let me just make sure that she blocked me before I... At... Yep, I'm blocked. The little... at Alicia underscore Smith 19. Here is a thread that she did on ThreadReader. It's AstraZeneca that has put a hold on its coronavirus vaccine trial as it investigates a patient who had a serious side effect. Do you want to know what the serious side effect was, Frank?
What?
I have experience with this. I tweeted it this morning. Transverse myelitis. Have you ever heard of that before?
No.
Transverse myelitis is an autoimmune response where your body attacks the myelin and eats the myelin around your nerve sheaths, which causes paralysis and horrible things to happen to you in terms of your spinal cord, anything that's a nerve in your body, in your spinal cord, etc. And you end up paralyzed because of it. It destroys your body. It's really, really bad. And I said, I did a thread this morning because I know about this disease very, very much, because a lot of people very close to me have autoimmune diseases, which is a whole other topic we can talk about, because there's a lot more to that than meets the eye. But good friend of mine, we took a road trip up to New York. We're driving back down and he's saying, my leg is numb. I don't understand. This is so weird. I must have slept wrong. Anyway, he suffers with this numbness patch on his leg for a couple days. Finally goes to the doctor because I was like, it could be a blood clot from sitting for so long. You know, we were all just like freaking out about it. Gets steroids because he thinks it's nerve damage. It calms down a little bit. He weans off the steroids, goes to bed, wakes up and can't move the bottom half of his body.
Both legs?
Yep.
Oh, the panic. The panic. Oh, jeez.
Gets rushed to the hospital, obviously. They put him on steroids, and he starts regaining function. The steroids, like, calm down the autoimmune response. He starts regaining function. His body starts to slowly repair itself. He's starting to learn to walk again. Transverse myelitis is the diagnosis, right? Came on out of nowhere. However, they started weaning him off the steroid again, and it came back, God, so bad. And he ended up being diagnosed with a disease called NMO, neuromyelitis optica. It is a very evil, horrible cousin of MS, and it is devastating. And he has had so much, you know, he's paralyzed. He's in a wheelchair. This is a former police officer, like, very active guy, loved to ride his motorcycle, like, super awesome, amazing person who was diagnosed with NMO, went through plasma treatments, all kinds of stuff to try and stop this disease from destroying his body. But this is what transverse myelitis does. This is how it affects your body. If this vaccine has caused somebody to suffer from a bout of TM, it's terrifying. If a vaccine can invoke an immune response so strong that that's what your body does because it sees itself as an invader, it's a problem.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely.
So, same thing.
And that's a severe reaction too.
Yes, that is no joke. Transverse myelitis is a serious. Now, people recover from it. It happens to people sometimes. Like, you know, they don't know. It could be triggered by a virus that causes your immune system to go nuts. It could be triggered by something in your environment that they haven't been able to pin down yet. It's a number of different, you know, things that could cause your body to do this. But sometimes it happens to people and they go on, you know, treatment and they get better and the body heals. There are also very encouraging stem cell research studies that are going on right now that are showing a lot of promise for people who have MS, people who have NMO, people who have lupus and other autoimmune disease to heal the body. But of course, those procedures and stuff, they don't want you getting those. They don't want you to heal. You know, Big Pharma does not want you better. They want you a slave to their medications forever.
Yep. No, yes, absolutely.
So
there's no two ways about it. Our entire approach to maintaining good health it falls so short of the mark.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's that. That's it for the show today, Frank. Busy, busy show.
Yeah.
Covered
jumped
a lot.
All over.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be back on Friday. You've been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
me, Beans. You can find us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you back here on Wednesday. I mean, Friday.
Later.
Bye.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.